bi-directional.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of The Worst Idea of All Time with myself, Timothy Andrew Batt.
Me, Guy Alexander Halifax Montgomery.
And a very, very hesitant Timothy Parko Lamborn.
Welcome along, Timothy Parko.
Thank you. It's so informal, the starting.
I've got a boost.
If you're listening at home, you're like, what's it like? Where do they do?
Don't pull back the curtain.
I'm going for it.
I've got to boost your volume, but I don't know how, Lamborn. This is so hard.
Going?
Yes.
Okay.
Lamborn, how are you feeling immediately? Let's get your first initial thoughts. The movie's just ended. We've seen it for 33 times. You've seen it for one time.
So this was my first time. And I knew, like, obviously, you know that it's going to be real bad, but it's really upsettingly bad. Just. And I'll get to why. I'll get to the greater themes of why.
I think you're overreacting.
Is that not the point? Do you not want genuine emotion?
I just want you to sort of just amble through this thing. Middle of the road. I don't want any passion.
Like a half-committed boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. It was fine.
You were
fine.
You were reluctant, weren't you?
I was very, very reluctant.
You didn't want to be here.
I wanted to be here.
You wanted to
hang
do the
out
podcast.
My friends
you
in a like safe environment.
You tried briefly. I saw when we said, "Do you want to do it?" There was a flash that came over your eyes. Like, what can I make up that will get me out of having to watch the movie?
But I'd already said to Guy like 10 minutes before you suggested that I had nothing to do, so I couldn't straight lie.
We pinned him down. And we drag him into the lounge and we put the movie on and we taped his eyelids to the top of his head and he cried and he cried and he threw up on himself. He's covered in vomit. The man smells
it's disgusting.
Putrid.
Vomit. There's a recurring theme.
The worst bit is as well is that he vomited really early on and that sort of curdled on his shirt.
We didn't let him get up because he has to watch the whole thing.
No.
He's just sitting in a puddle of his own spew.
There's no phones on and there's no moving while the movie's on.
I do want to address any listeners who think that it's not taken seriously. Those rules are enforced very,
very,
very seriously. I thought I could maybe do some tweeting, some Instagramming while, you know, just to pass the 90 minutes?
No.
Actually, 100 over 90. But you can't. They mean it. They mean
we mean business,
here.
Bucko.
Yeah. That's weird.
We didn't get to where we are today by skirting the rules.
No. There's strict rules in place for a reason.
Guy, we've got so many segments now that I want to dive right into some of them.
We're really filling this thing up, aren't we? It's bursting at the seams.
In fact, I want to kick off with the one that's got the best theme song.
Okay.
So here it comes. Two, three, four.
Paddy Schwartz, party time. It's Paddy Schwartz, party time.
It's party time with Paddy Schwartz. Alright, Tim, now you know the segment, our listeners know the segment. Paddy Schwartz is in the movie, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, for about four scenes, and he is a scene stealer.
He's good.
He's a party machine. You were watching him with special attention.
I was.
We told you to.
You did.
What have you got for us?
I think it's his second to last scene, his penultimate scene, to use the movie reviewer's word. And it is him in a sort of short sleeve, stripy, button-down shirt. That's not the scene stealer. It's the shell necklace.
Yes.
There is a pure white shell necklace that he is rocking with a couple buttons undone.
Poker shell? Is that what they're called? Poker shell necklace? We've got quite a few people in the lounge with us as well. We do have a studio audience. Guy, poker necklace? Is that what they're called?
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It was as much as Paddy Schwartz is a
scene
stealer.
That's Nick, by the way, who you'll hear in the background, who you might remember from episode 29 is the snoring gent.
Prawn salad. He's awake now. He's been asleep until now.
Sorry, you were saying, Tim.
No, mostly that the shell necklace, there's not enough of it in New Zealand. I feel it was a real late 90s, early 2000s trend, and it hasn't come back, and maybe Paddy Schwartz can be the man to do that.
Well, if anyone could do it, I mean, Paddy Schwartz is a good guy. He'd put his hand up. Hey, put the necklace on my shoulders. I'll carry it back into fashion. For me, it was a throwback to Belle on Home and Away. She always used to wear those choker necklaces.
Was that the one who joined the cult?
Hard to
Cassie,
say.
No, that was Cassie. Sorry.
It's probably alienating a few American listeners there.
We now have more people listening from the States than we do in our home country.
Is that a thing? You're big in the States?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say big.
And we just want to let you know, Home and Away is an Australian-based soap opera that's huge down here.
Kit, Thor. Thor was on Home and Away. That's your connection.
Old Hemsworth.
Hemsworth boys.
Yeah. Is he with Miley Cyrus? Is that?
He was.
I think they were, and then they.
Wow.
What a
turn up for them. So America, it's not often that we make it. Like people from New Zealand, Australia make it, but well, not so much New Zealand, but certainly Australia is not.
You mean New Zealanders don't often make it big?
New Zealanders
don't make it big
in America. Australians occasionally do. Two brothers, the same family, the Hemsworth brothers, destroying Hollywood.
Shit,
that's
I tell you
so
what,
cool.
It must be a nightmare for their parents, old friends, to have dinner with those guys.
Oh, yeah.
So, how's Angela getting on with her Bachelor of Arts?
Yeah, she was struggling a while. Then she took a semester off.
Oh, well, Chris and Liam are doing very well in Hollywood. You know my boy, Chris or Liam, one of them's fucking Miley Cyrus. That girl from the television. Is Angela fucking anyone famous?
Meanwhile, Angela's got a B in her art history exam.
I think she hooked up with Eric Banner one night. Like, he was always offset, like, the part from that.
Oh, Eric Banner's actually
yeah,
a
he's
very
killing
underrated
it. There, you, would, you wouldn't be unhappy I was talking with about that, would you?
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, this is another Adam Sandler film, Funny People.
Yeah.
Eric Barnard is a comedic revelation in that film.
Great
you know,
film.
He plays Leslie Mann's husband.
Do you know
Cameron Diaz?
Oh, that's my girl.
There's something about me. I love that movie. It's so funny. I nearly shit my panties.
The spoof in here. Oh, yes. It's so funny.
It was like, yes. And so it was like, yeah, but there's not many times you meet someone as beautiful and lovely and talented as whatever the Leslie Mann's character's name is. And then everyone was like, yes, but Cameron Diaz. Fuck!
You know how the story goes with that role as well? He was supposed to be like kind of a high-flying Wall Street American jock, and he pitched to Judd Apatow. Eric Banner was like, nah, I reckon we can make it funnier. And he pitched to the dickhead Aussie. Yeah.
Well, his first movie role was in The Castle.
Which guy is he?
One,
I'm so
two.
Lost with you guys right now.
What are you
I'm not even
about?
On the same
Who's
page as you two.
Is it Kit?
I can only imagine what people look like.
The kickboxer,
there'll be a lot of people listening who are with you guys. I'm not one of them.
Hey, oh, sorry.
I'm listening to all you right. two. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Eric Banner.
Eric
We're
Banner.
Talking about Eric,
you know
Banner.
Eric Banner.
Which one is he on in the castle?
The hot daughter's boyfriend who does all the kickboxing.
He talks about the movies. Yeah. Saw the fight. We saw, what was it? And Jumanji.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah, he's the Hulk.
The tornado one? Yeah.
Yeah, the Hulk. Yeah.
Twister.
One of the Hulks. Twister, yes.
Yeah. I know who he is.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
He's
I zoned
really good.
Out. Sorry.
Have you seen Munich? Okay. Munich is amazing. Look,
Tim, you're reviewing all the wrong movies.
Yeah, let's bring you back. Let's bring you back in.
We've done Taylor Swift. Party time,
oh, you know what
Schwartz.
We've got to talk about, man, before I forget? That Netflix has just signed a 4-movie deal with Adam Sandler.
That's right.
This is insane.
This is big news. Just as a quick aside to that, I also love that the worst Saturday of all time Facebook page is becoming like the de facto dumpings place for
we're a clearinghouse
related news.
A clearinghouse for Sandler info. If you want all your Adam Sandler news, go there first.
Into becoming Adam Sandler's premier news source.
So Netflix started just being a distribution channel online for different shows and movies and things, and now they've ventured into their own production house. House of Cards, of course.
Looked,
fantastic show.
Emmy award winning.
And they've just decided that they're going to sign a 4-movie deal with Adam Sandler.
I mean, you've got to say, it's probably the first misstep Netflix has publicly made.
Shit, yeah, man.
Because Orange is New Black, that's Netflix.
That
well,
is,
right?
Yeah, that's popular. A Netflix popular. Original
good
series.
Show. Is it good?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, man.
How's Jason Biggs? Is he relevant? Is he good?
Yeah, Jason Biggs is good.
No shit. Right.
Yeah, but the thing
is Biggs in it.
Yeah.
From American Pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, speaking of irrelevant 90s comedians who shouldn't be reviewed every week for 43 weeks.
He's very good in that show.
He's
I
back,
think for
baby.
Me, this Netflix deal, this is Adam Sandler's last cash grab. I mean, his stock is falling.
Did you hear the quote that's in the press release for it?
No.
He says, I signed up to this deal for one reason and one reason only.
Oh, yes.
Because Netflix rhymes with wet chicks.
Yes, I did see that.
You fucking
that's
goober,
the thing
man.
He actually said.
You absolute piece of shit. Not only did he say it, but he approved that to go out to All and Sundry as the press release celebrating
well, I think
the moment.
He just wanted to lower expectations right off the bat. He
Smart,
to
how could you lower them from Grown Ups too?
By
with
coming out
wet chicks.
With Netflix rhymes with wet chicks.
It's not even spelt that. Yeah, it does rhyme, but like technically it's not.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to spell. In fairness to Adam, it doesn't have to spell. Doesn't have to check out with us.
Don't you dare be fair to Adam Sandler at this point in the game.
I will
don't
be.
This is
dare.
Not the time or place.
No, I will be fair to Adam
this is
Sandler.
Not the forum. Yeah, fuck that guy and fuck Netflix for falling into
look,
that.
I mean, I'm interested to see.
There's also a quote from like the executive that signed it off saying like everybody loves Adam Sandler's movies. Well, no, everyone loved Adam Sandler's
well, he's
movies.
He's going through that serious patch in his career now, isn't he? He's doing
He did. He's in a movie called The Cobbler about some guy who cobbles shoes in New York, and another.
He did Punch Drunk Love. He's ventured into the kind of art, funny slightly artier side.
He didn't have to do anything shit after Funny People. Like, it was done. He could do good shit from there on out. No, he crushed it with Funny People. No, I think he didn't have to do Grown Ups too.
He bought goodwill because his character was semi-autobiographical in Funny People.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so everyone sort of related to the ascent and descent of a career,
and then he went, "I'm back in the game, bitches."
That's so disingenuous, though, because it was like, "Here's me bearing my soul. Yeah. This is a brand new chapter of honesty for me." And then, just kidding. I'm going to grab another $180 million on a shitty film.
Isn't an honest, who's saying?
Well,
aren't
if he's saying
films?
Netflix wet chicks, maybe it is autobiographical.
Look, Tim, I'm going to be honest with you. You took about 12 or 13 notes during the movie.
Yeah, I took some heavy notes.
We have burned a lot of minutes right off the top.
Oh god, have we what?
I mean, we got stuff.
All this talk of Home and Away and Puka Shell necklaces.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, you welcome someone in with open arms to the podcast. And
okay, I want to get away. I've got a bigger concept. I guess I'll say that for later. That's how you do it, isn't it? Narrative wise,
mate. However you do it is the way that we do it.
A couple of things I want to. Some notes I've got here, just verbatim. So sad. Full stop. I can't remember when I wrote that, but it's the third thing I wrote.
It's relevant to the entirety of the film.
Fraternity life. What I will say, for their verisimilitude, they nailed fraternity life. Now, I don't know when to blow my own horn.
Hold the fine. Did you just say the word similitude?
Verisimilitude.
What does that mean?
Reality, like truthfulness.
Wow, that's
when
good.
When you've got strong verisimilitude, you're truthful to who you are. So, like, if, yeah, it's an important word for acting.
It's a $2 word,
it's
man.
It's a theatre word, yeah.
Is it really? Yeah. What's the real? How do you use it in theatre?
Is it like from veracity?
Okay, right, okay. The verisimilitude of the piece.
Yes, right.
Anyway, as you were.
So the verisimilitude of the fraternity lifestyle, apart from the mass mob murder, kill, kill, kill thing, which I'm sure everyone listening is very familiar with, frat life is as ridiculous as they portrayed it, if not more so. Like, that could be, apart from the kill, 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 downplayed from frat life. And I spent a semester in a fraternity in Missouri. And it really is more cliche than the films. Like, I can't say any more clear than that.
Wow.
They are they're worse than what you see on movies. And by worse I mean better, but also worse.
God, you look disgusted and confused.
No, that is they're hamming that up. You wouldn't
know
a fraternity. The fraternity, there's a full scale fight with the town.
Remove the fight. No, don't remove the fight. Remove the kill, kill, kill mob.
Yeah,
it's all there. It's all there. Yeah, it really is. I've just seen it. Like, this is
where were you, Missouri? What city in Missouri? Do a shout out
Columbia,
to the frat.
Shout out to Columbia, Missouri. Spring 09, SIGEP. We roll hard. That was our
Mizzou.
That was our thing.
What's their team? Up
Mizzou, the Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go you Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Top 25. This is all America. They'll get hello. Top 25, Mizzou. You know.
Go
but
Tigers.
409, Sigma Phi Epsilon, Missouri Alpha Chapter. It's all there. Everything you see fraternity based is just exactly.
Well, this
really
is based
in
Connecticut.
In the more intense states. Like, obviously, in upmarket New York fraternities, they're probably a little more civilized. But in Midwest America.
Well, actually, this dovetails nicely onto my shining light, which I'll cram in the interest of time, which is the four bros when Taylor Lautner goes, is it Taylor who says it? We've got a situation here?
We got a situation.
Yeah, that's right. It's the blonde dude. We got a situation here, and then there's kind of a wolf whistle-y scream kind of thing that comes out. And then there's a shot to four dude bromans, as I would call them. Just your archetypal knuckle-dragging frat dudes.
It's an archetype for a reason, man.
And they're linking arms, drinking beers, like you would do at a wedding, you know, with your wife. Okay, you both have the champagne, but they're doing it with the beers.
I've seen that.
Guzzling. And they're fucking drunk. Like, there's such parodies of humans. But you're telling me, Lamborn.
It's not a parody.
That's amazing.
Parody of it. So, because you've just changed the whole tone of this episode of the podcast from the movie to. This is like, I'm questioning fraternity life at large.
I'm questioning the world.
Little dillweeds. Ding dongs. Dingbats.
What have you seen of fraternities in films that has made you to believe anything other than that?
Pretty sure in The Social Network they were all pretty great people.
Rich people, sure.
Look, I don't know.
You know, the Winklevosses. I'm pretty sure they were in a frat.
I just feel like the plural.
The plural is Winklevi.
The world of the movie is so heightened, and everything is so ridiculous. Yep.
Everything,
like halfway through, you were like, "This is one day." You were freaking out the fact this all takes place in one day. So I think to draw a direct parallel between characters in the movie and reality is insane.
And maybe, is this opening up? Is this changing how you view the movie?
Well, yeah, because my fear now is I haven't been to America except briefly through LAX when I went to Mexico once. So maybe the whole movie is an accurate representation of a country I've never spent time in, you know?
Mm.
Is there a possibility?
I haven't lived in Connecticut for one day, so I can't speak to that. But the frat thing, they really nailed it. And any new American listeners, you guys do on Twitter, just confirm it. It really is that cliche. It's awesome. So that's
Guy, do you have a shining light?
Shining light of the film. Yeah, it was Keithy's t-shirt when he's learning to kick field goals on the football field. It says, train hard, win easy. And to anyone out there, you know, chasing a career or a dream, train hard, win easy. It takes a lot of effort to look effortless. And I thought that was really inspiring.
You know, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
That's right.
Similar tangent.
You make your own luck.
Make your own luck. Yeah. And on that scene as well, Lamborn, did you notice this?
No, that was...
Monty noticed. There's a goddamn... We've established pretty confidently that there's a goddamn body double for Keithy. And it might be a midget. We're pretty sure they dressed up a midget to look like
him. When we rewinded, which we did,
it's different body shape.
And sorry, I don't want to say midget, little person. I apologise. I'm pretty sure that they've hired a little person who's really good at kicking.
Yeah.
To be really a stand-in.
Like, they cheat all the other shots. I don't know why they didn't just cheat this one
It's bizarre.
And speaking of other issues, like with
continuity. This is a big one. You guys got Brayden buck Higgins. Wild over this.
Oh god, this is a goodie.
So you, it's a very specific.
How do I get into
take
this?
So Brayden Higgins, son of David Spade, he goes to the quarry after school with the boys to sort of have a good time to celebrate the arrival of summer, and he sees his dad when he's at the quarry. His dad's forced to jump into the water by the accurately depicted frat boys, and on his arm there's a tattoo which he shows after he sees David Spade, and it says soup kitchen my ass. And Tim and I, we've always wondered,
Just quickly, what does that mean?
It's because David Spade claims that he can't spend the day with his son when he first gets off the train after the back of a phone call where he realises he has a son, but no additional information. He makes up the excuse, I'd love to spend the day with you, but I've got I'm volunteering at the soup kitchen today.
That's correct. Before we even see David Spade at the quarry, so earlier in that same scene when they arrive and before Brayden Higgins jumps out of the water to celebrate the arrival of summertime, there is a tattoo on his arm, the same tattoo which says soup kitchen my ass, which they obviously found out in post-production, and they did a really bad job of a blur over it. Like, you know when there's a logo on screen that they don't want you to see, which is not the case in this film.
They're like pixelated out, kind of.
Or like when extras in pornography scenes don't want to be identified.
They change their minds.
They just put the blur over. Yeah.
That's a very specific example.
Yep.
I've watched a lot of porno with extras blurred out.
We're just watching our pornography in that case, I guess.
But anyway.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
They blurred out. They obviously found out they made an error.
I watched two things, pornography and Grown Ups 2. That's me. That's my life.
It's a Monday. It's a tough day for everyone. We've all got our. Whores will have their trinkets. It's blurred out. You sort of really did undercut the excitement of my continuity error that I found.
So it's what they've done is it's written on his arm and revealed on camera before it should have been.
Yeah.
And so they've had to blur it out in post-production. I'm amazed that anyone bothered to notice it, to be honest.
You mean anyone in post-production?
In the editing suite.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they didn't care enough to do a good blur. Like, so yeah. You're right, like, good on them for noticing, but then they just...
Fairness, this is only the third time we've watched it. and it's the first time we've noticed that. So, I mean, you can
good
see
blur.
Why
good blur.
They thought they could maybe get away with a cheap blur.
Yeah.
You have to dig deep to find this kind of goal.
Yeah, there was... I got pretty barred up for a second when I thought that they were mispronouncing the name of the fraternity relative to what the t-shirt.
Well, that might be true, because they only say it once.
So you're coming for the second time. You're coming in hot with this fraternity.
Because is there H in Greek, in the Greek alphabet? Is there a letter H? Because it's like, it's something H sigma.
I had to learn the Greek alphabet. They forced you to learn the Greek alphabet.
So tell
me.
Is a good thing about a fraternity?
It's been 5 years. It's all gone.
Oh, okay.
But
still,
founders,
it's in there somewhere.
We've got two.
Oh, yeah, one day.
Two people in the
not
place.
Not enough for the one time it's relevant, though. It's
all gone.
Does H feature in the Greek alphabet?
Hydra.
Two?
They think it does.
One of them reckons
let's
yes.
Let's not get bogged
one
down
of them reckons don't know.
H.
Yes.
Greek.
It does? Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Speaking that settles that.
And now we know. People think maybe there's an H in the Greek alphabet.
Hater. Yeah.
We need
theta.
We need to get into the Steve Buscemi mystery tour.
We do. I
haven't thought of anything.
Well, oh, haven't you? Because we were going to throw this onto you today, Lambo.
You don't have to. You just do it on the fly, all right? So okay. Steve Buscemi, as we know, he's injured in the first movie. He complains about what the injury did to him in the second movie to Chris Rock. And the Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour, which is coming to take you away, is right now. And Tim, it's your job to speculate onto what caused this very specific injury to Steve Buscemi in the movie Grown Ups.
I think that a previous Steve Buscemi character from a Happy Madison film, course you remember the sniper from Billy Madison, one of Steve Buscemi's best.
That is a nice
crossover. Phenomenal character.
Very quirky.
Maybe in a kind of a movie that was shot but was never made, which happens a lot in Hollywood. They shoot movies they never made, and it was a football. Fuck, no, because they did The Waterboy.
What's the problem here?
The problem is that in The Waterboy, which Steve Buscemi may or may not have been in, maybe he shot a scene that never made it to air, he makes a good double high five reference for Billy Boucher, The Waterboy. And then Billy Boucher is about to run and like high five him, and he high fives him so hard that his hands are stuck up there.
Oh my God.
Like a double high five.
And so your theory is that all of the Happy Madison films take place in the same universe.
It's like the Kevin Smith thing with Jay and Silent Bob.
And it's like the Pixar theory that all of the Pixar movies exist in the same universe.
Yes.
You're saying Happy Madison's operating on the same level as
Pixar.
It's
at that level.
Can that possibly work though? Because Adam Sandler's always front and center and being different characters. Unless he's got like some sort of limited amnesia.
No.
Do you know what he's going to do later in his career? He's going to do a movie where he uses all of the main characters he's created in other films and puts them in the same film, like Eddie Murphy with The Nutty Professor.
He did that, Jack and Jill.
No, he's going to do it. He's going to do it with his old favorites. He's going to dust off all your favorites.
Here comes
Billy Madison, Bobby Boucher.
Oh wow!
It'll be like a WWE WrestleMania style event.
Do we just figure out why Grown Ups 2?
We're just figuring out what the four film deal with Netflix is.
It's Sandlermania.
Get ready, motherfuckers!
Sandlermania parts 1 to 4.
Holy shit!
What a genius.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he hasn't...
Remember that Netflix joke he made? It was so good.
I'll bet that he hasn't even thought of what the four films are now, and this is going to get back to him, and he'll be like, yep, that'll do.
God, I hope so. Adam, if you are listening, please fly us over to LA.
This is something we're desperate to do.
We've got lots of ideas for you.
We really want to be there for episode 52. We want to watch it in Hollywood.
Can I speak to some more verisimilitude?
Please.
The children, the fictional children of Adam Sandler and Selma Hayek, are the perfect hybrid children of that family. The casting director nailed it. You know, they all look like they could be the kids of that relationship.
Well, Becky Fader is the greatest actor in the film.
She's phenomenal.
You were blown.
She's about eight.
You were blown away by Becky Fader.
Absolutely blown away. She was phenomenal. She's a standout.
I hear what you're saying.
Keithy.
Are you speaking like ethnically? Are you saying they're kind of like the right look to be the offspring of Sandler and Hayek?
That's what casting is.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it going to fit? Are people going to believe? Yeah, they will, because we know.
Keithy looks like a giraffe, though, on account of his very large lashes. Beautiful lashes.
I like his face. He's got a very emotive face. I don't think I like him as an actor.
Neither do I. He makes bad decisions.
It's cruel to talk about him like this because he's probably only 12.
Yeah.
I have a question for the men of Grown Ups to number 33.
Mm.
If you were out and about in a bar and you met a girl that you're really interested in, you know, attracted to.
Let's call her Nancy Arbuckle for the purposes of the story.
Nice. And you start talking about movies, you know, you get to know each other, common interests, and the subject of Grown Up 2 is going to come up because you guys obviously talk about it, but it comes up first with her. And she says, oh yeah, me and my friends watched the funniest movie the other day. It was Grown Ups 2. I loved it.
Oh.
Would you progress or do you walk away?
Let's go to my house. You're getting on the podcast. We are busting for some positivity.
Oh my God, you're so right. That's the goalposts shift. The whole situation changes. It's like, well, I thought we were going to have sex, but in some ways this is better. This is content for the podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to use you in a different kind of a way, which is less...
Sexual intercourse pales in comparison to watching Grown Ups 2, Tim.
To finding someone who likes Grown Ups 2.
You've got to go deep on this, all right?
And especially if she's her and her mates. Like, can you imagine us hosting a party where people are legitimate... Multiple people are into the film?
We could throw a Grown Ups 2 dress-up party. Just as a thought.
I'll come dressed as Adam Sandler, which is any t-shirt I'm currently wearing and some loose shorts.
Adidas, the product.
And a can of Pepsi,
Drink Pepsi.
Very dear to my heart. Having been involved and will continue to be involved in a lot of product endorsement, development and placement.
Yeah, you might know Tim Lamborn from the Spark ads.
You might know me from holding up noodles at 4 p.m. in the afternoon on a former show called You Live.
I doubt it though.
I have
Because it got cancel because no one was watching, mate.
It wasn't that no one was watching, it's that we lost money, alright? It's a big difference.
You say potato, I say no viewership, but let's call the whole thing off.
The product placement of Kmart, of the veggie chips in the final scene when he's talking to his unborn baby, of just every, the juice.
That was the final straw for you, eh? Because you kept noticing shit. You were like, the label's out on that juice box. What the fuck?
The veggie chips. And so I turned to God and I was like, did I miss veggie as a line? Is he trying to get healthy? Is veggie chips show that he's developing his snack by having more healthy snacks? No. Just that veggie chips paid a lot of money.
The word over came back in.
If anything, he's doing the opposite. Because if those are big fans of the movie, you'll remember, he's eating chips and Pepsi when he wakes up. He's got a bowl of chips and a can of Pepsi on the bedside table.
See, this is because one time when we did the podcast and I was mentally spinning out a bit, I came up with this theory that the entire movie is only half a movie and then doubled back on itself.
Yeah.
And so there is a lot of examples of that. Like the moose is at the start and the end.
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters that come in
There's some Hollywood formula, I guess, for this particular
Brand
of film.
There's beats. In every genre of film, but like there's something
very specific beats.
This is what I was thinking about. For some reason, I was thinking about the movie over the weekend, which is terrible, so I wasn't watching it. But like, where's the 3-act structure with Grown Ups 2?
Can you please give me a loose definition of the 3-act structure?
No, I'm not a good enough. I don't know enough about it. But it's like, you know, you start off and you build a universe.
You've got
to like do things like this thing called Saving the Cat, where the film's protagonist has to do something so that you empathise with them and you care about their journey.
And then in the first act.
And like almost immediately, so that you're really on board and you're invested. And in the case of Grown Ups 2, I guess it's Sandler wrangling with a CGI deer through his house.
No, he doesn't.
That's their version of Saving the Cat.
There is he, because he uses his child's toy as a decoy.
But then you flip it gets destroyed. So you lose the cat, you kill the cat. It's called killing the cat. And so you hate the guy. But then when you do come around, the attachment.
But there's no. There doesn't.
Did you come out?
And there's no all is lost moment in this film. Like that's a standard thing in story making.
Essentially, an all is lost moment.
this is all is lost moment for his career. But then the triumphant return, thanks to Netflix stepping in.
It's the all is lost moment for his career. He made a lot of money on this film.
Oh fuck yeah!
All is lost for
us. Let's do it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Let's get into my theory.
Oh yeah,
and this was confirmed when Andy Samberg, Jorma, and the other guy whose name I don't know from The Lonely Island come in for the car washing. Probably the best scene.
Yeah. A lot of people have said that. I've read reviews online.
Very funny scene. The washing the aerial from Andy Samberg, fantastic.
Yeah, he makes it look like he's masturbating a penis.
At that
very
moment,
thin metal penis.
At that moment, with that cameo, you have to think really. This is Adam Sandler saying, okay, we're obliged to do a follow-up because when you sign to get the studio to pay for Grown Ups 1, they're like, well, if it goes well, you're indebted to us, you have to do Grown Ups 2. That's just, from my understanding of Entourage, that's how movies work.
Everything I know about Hollywood.
So they have to do Grown Ups 2 legally. They can't get out of it. That's probably not a far jump, right? Realistically.
Nah, well, I'm not with you, but keep going.
Because Grown Ups 1 was okay. Like, it sold.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it made a lot of money.
I'm sure when they sign those deals, it's like when you do Grown Ups 1, if it goes well, you have to do Grown Ups 2.
But you have to understand, this is Adam Sandler's first ever sequel. So there's obviously.
That's why it has to be contractually done, because
I think he loves it. I think it's a passion project. He wrote this.
I think this was a passion project. I don't think this was a contractual obligation.
All right, I'm not here to.
But anyway, let's
idea of the podcast. But what's that?
Let's stay with your assumption.
My theory. So he's contractually obliged to do a sequel.
Gotcha.
And he just looks around and he's like, "Fuck it, this is the ultimate in joke. We're just going to see how bad a film we can make that will still sell, and let's just fucking have a laugh. And so they bring in the Lonely Island for a day. They've got Steve Buscemi, obviously got the relationship through Happy Madison, but all of the Maya Rudolph is acting and doing comedy that is so bad that you can't think that she stood up for that she can be okay with that. It has to be like, fuck it, let's just have a laugh. We all have a laugh every now and then. They're just like, fuck it, let's have a laugh. It doesn't mean anything to us. We've all succeeded.
This has got legs, man.
I think they're just like, we have to do this. Well, let's make it as terrible as poo jokes.
There's a Prince album that's a result of this exact same thing. Whereas
it's a thing that's
his label
before.
Signed him to do like 10 albums. He did like 6 or something, and then they really fucked him off, and so he just shat out 3 albums at once. But apparently they're not terrible.
You can't do anything.
Nirvana, Top of the Pops. You have to do lip syncing. Okay,
so they got
cool.
everyone so to play each other's instruments.
So they just fucked out. Like they're just like, well, fuck it. What do we really care? Because there were just too many good comedic actors. Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn doesn't need to be portrayed that badly. To rebut.
Okay, but you hear what you hear. I'm coming from.
I agree. Like. I think James Acaster has said before when he came on the podcast that he thought they were having a very good time shooting it. I'm pretty sure it was James. Someone was saying like, I reckon these guys are having a whale of a time.
Oh, there might have been Tim for time.
There's no way that's the case.
I'm not arguing with the fact that they're sort of mailing it in.
Like, no, of course.
They're hanging out.
But you're saying it's not that cynical.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Which I guess...
No, it's good. Be the, positively. I just highly doubt that it is that cynical.
It's just a bad movie. They just made a dud that they don't care about. It's not like they actively tried to make a terrible movie. They just fucked around for a few days, and this is what came out of it. And people went to it anyway. And people I've heard have been watching it week after week, which is fucking insane.
For months.
I would go with that, and I would buy with that. But the quality of the surrounding cast is just too high. That it just seems like they're having a laugh.
Like everyone,
they're having a laugh at
like
us.
They're taking the piss at us. They're just like, look what we can shit out, and you will still buy. Because how cynical they are in the industry.
But they might be lovely people. Why would they all be mocking their fans like that?
Because they have a pretty high concept
relationship with their careers and their life.
Yeah,
like,
and they got bored. This is
a
very existential. This is very artistic.
Because
the burp snart that Kevin James keeps saying, like, that is abhorrent. That's not a joke. It's miles away from being a joke. It's 3 bodily functions crammed together. It's nothing. And yet they keep trying to convince us that it's a catchphrase.
Tomatoes. So good.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do that.
And his catchphrase in this movie is the word what?
Exactly. Such a rate.
I think you're onto something, man.
We theorize.
I think they're just like, fuck it. Shall we see how bad we can take it? And the studio doesn't care.
You might be onto something
here,
man.
Here is a popcorn filler. Let's go.
We got to put a bow on this. And I want to end on a high. Like, we got to wrap it up.
Oh, okay.
Because we've been talking a while. Naturally. We've been talking a while, but have we missed any features?
We got all the features.
Shining Light.
Did I upset Shorts. You a little bit here?
No, I'm just thinking. You just blown my mind twice in one podcast.
I want to thank Tim Lamborn for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm going to say it. Doing this podcast is worth the 106 minutes of Grown Ups 2.
Thank you. But don't watch the movie yourselves unless you can join us.
101, I think.
Okay. Felt like 6.
Felt like 106. Felt 5 minutes longer than it was.
Look, thank you very much for listening, everybody. Like us on Facebook. Obviously dump any Adam Sandler related news you have in that pitch we're creating.
And please, if you know Adam Sandler, let him know what we're up to. Yeah. We'd love to fly over to Hollywood and hang out with them.
We're looking at doing a Kickstarter. Yeah. Can you give us $5, Tim?
Shit.
To get over to Hollywood. I reckon we could get David Spade to watch it on the 52nd time with us. I reckon maybe.
Anyway.
If not, we'll burn the thing to the ground and get Rob Schneider in because he's so fucked off he didn't get into Grown Ups 2, but he's in Grown Ups 1. That would be funny.
All right.
Plus, I've met Schneider before, as I've mentioned.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm going to stop mentioning it.
Okay, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Live every moment, love every day, yeah. Because before you know it, your precious time slips away.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.